to stand on the word. But here, before we get into it, I want to share this with you. This morning we talked about the judgment seat of Christ and what the Lord does there. And you're going to be accountable for how you stand as a church. You're going to be accountable for what you let in amongst you. You say, oh, preacher, listen, everybody's welcome. And they are welcome. Everybody is welcome here. Everybody is, no matter what their past is. But you listen to me this afternoon, you're going to be accountable for what you let in amongst you. You're going to be accountable for what you let in behind this sacred desk in years to come. I'm telling you, there's going to be a push. 25 years from now, what we're doing now, if we don't hold on to it, it won't be. It'll be worldly. It won't be godly. It'll be worldly. And trust me, you don't want that. Your kids don't want that. This local body don't want that. You stand on the word. You stand on the book. Because as pastor, I'm going to be judged on what I allow goes on here, what I allow go on out there, what I allow go on this local body. You say, oh, preacher, it ain't that serious. Oh, yes, it is. I'm going to give an account for it. When I stand before him, that's one thing that I'm going to give an account for is how I shepherd this flock. I'm the bishop of this place. He says that the office of a bishop, if he desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. You know what a bishop is? That's one that manages it. The one that manages the flock, that takes care of that flock, that helps that flock. He said there's an elder. That elder is to minister to that flock. And then there's a shepherd, and then there's a bishop. And all that comes underneath. And here, as we come in the Bible, here at the church at Thyatira, they had a problem. They had a problem. Here at this church, we don't want to have a problem. I mean, we just want God to have his way, amen? And I thank God for that this afternoon. Revelation chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 18. If you have a copy of God's word, I ask you to stand. And here's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 18. The Bible says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Here's what he said in verse 21, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that committed adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. It's Jesus. It's Jesus talking. This ain't your preacher talking, it's Jesus talking. He says, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest at Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our Father and our God, as we once again bow in your presence, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the ones that's gathered back tonight to hear a portion of your word. Lord, I thank you for this local body. I thank you for the unity that's here, the no division, Father, that we're following you the way that you've called us to walk and the way you've called us to minister. And what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray tonight as we study this word, Lord, I pray tonight that you watch over Union Chapel Baptist Church. Lord, I pray it always be a church that stands on the word of God. And Lord God, if we need to repent tonight, Lord, I pray you bring it to our attention where we will repent and get back in line with you, Father. Lord, we want to be a church found faithful in what you've called us to do. There's going to come a day we're going to give an account of the works that we've done on this side of glory in this body. And Lord, tonight I want it to be pleasing to you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything that I say be all about you. Father, if they be anything in my mouth that would be negative, that would be rude, that would not be of thus saith the word of God, I'm asking you to remove it right now. Lord, I'm asking you right now to give the ones that are listening ears to hear. And Lord God, I ask you right now to anoint everything that I would say. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious, and all of God's people saying. Amen. You may be seated tonight. To stand on the Word of God tonight, as we come tonight and we look here at the church at Thyatira, Wednesday night we studied about how that He applauded them. Before He ever come to a place that He scolded a church, He applauded that church for what they were doing. He applauded them for how they were standing and how God was moving and making things happen there. But here He comes here in verse number 20 and He has somewhat to say against them. The church at Thyatira, I want you to get this, it was a church that God applauded for the love they had for folks. He applauded them for how much the church was growing, how it was giving to folks that was less fortunate than they. But God used the word notwithstanding, or on the other hand, I have something against you. You're loving and growing, but you're not standing on the word of God. I want to stop right here before I read that next, in your notes, before I read the next verse, I want to give you this. Don't ever use this when you're inviting somebody to church. I want you to come to my church. There's no judgment there. If you use that statement, if you come to Union Chapel and there's no judgment there, you are making us look very bad. Come to our church. Everybody's welcome. Nobody's judged there. There's no judgment goes on there. Come, come. When you use that, man, you are distorting the truth of the Word of God. We don't judge nobody, but the Word will. You see what I'm saying? When you say, just come as you are, just, and yes, we do want them to come as they are. Never, never get to the place that you tell them. When you come into here, there'll be no judgment there. You'll have no judgment. When you leave, you're going to feel good. You're going to feel, don't never tell them that, because you're going to tell them a lie. Because Brother BJ is going to stand on the Word of God. When I'm behind this desk, I'm going to stand on this book and I'm going to preach this book the way the book says it tonight. And here, when you use that word and you tell people there's no judgment at Union Chapel Baptist Church, you have missed the whole mark. When we come in here, we ought to be under that judgment of Almighty God. Not under the judgment of our brothers and sisters, but under the judgment of Almighty God. The Bible says tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 4, in verse number 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And the Bible says tonight, and it must first begin at us tonight. It'll gain in our life. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Tonight, can I say to you, when you come into a local body assembly where the Word of God is being preached and it is being taught, there ought to be some judgment that comes upon an individual tonight. If you walk in and you never have conviction, you never have judgment, you can walk in the same way and walk back out the same way, and there's never nothing that's drawing on you. There's never nothing that is pulling on you. There's never nothing trying to get you to do what God has called you to do. Friends, tonight, can I say at the judgment of God, it is not going to start out in that world. It's going to start at the house of God. Hey, when He starts cleaning this thing up, don't think He's going to clean up the United States of America. When He starts cleaning this thing up, the first thing He's going to clean up is the house of God. That's where judgment is going to start, and He is going to start cleaning it up. I said in Sunday school this morning, and I believe this, we're not sinless. We sin daily, but as a believer tonight, we're not sinless, but we ought to be blameless tonight. Nobody ought to be able to look at you and anything that you do and hold something to your account. We ought to be blameless in what God has called us to do tonight. Any work that you do, anything you do for anybody, anywhere you put your name, you ought to be blameless in whatever you do. But tonight I want to give this to you in verse number 20, where He had a problem tonight, and here's what He said. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophet. There I want to stop. He said, I have somewhat against you because you're letting Jezebel run the house of God. Hey, tonight this woman's name is not necessarily Jezebel, but that's who she was pretending to be. She was pretending to be a Jezebel. And you know what Jezebel did throughout the Bible? It says that the reason the church was not standing is because they allowed Jezebel. They would rather not stand and let her have her way and destroy that local body church. Tonight I want you to know, when you look at this, you can look, number one, at the character of Jezebel. A lot of folks believe that the character of Jezebel would be a character of one that was dressed a certain way or dressed improper or not according to the Word of God. But everywhere you look in the Word of God and you find the word Jezebel and you find Jezebel, she had a character of this. It was of intimidation and manipulation. She intimidated everyone that was around her, and she would manipulate them with not the Word of God and not the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says this, in the Old Testament, do you remember when Elijah went up to Mount Carmel and he went up to fight? You know who he was fighting? He was fighting Jezebel. He was fighting her and them prophets of Baal. And when he went up, there was 450 prophets, and there was one old Elijah there. And you know what happened when he got up there? Man, they started having a big old time, and they started having it their way. And here's what he said here in 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah come unto all the people and said, how long have you been between our two opinions? He said, how long are you going to be this way? Are you going to follow God and what he's called you to do? Or are you going to follow the prophet of Baal and Jezebel and what she's called you to do? And here's what he says. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. Amen. Hey, if you're going to follow God, you're going to follow the whole book. You can't tear out what you like and do what you like and do what you got to follow that whole book. And he said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And you know what happened there in the book of Kings? Oh, Elijah went up there and he called fire down. And God fell down there and the fire fell. And he slew them 450 prophets of Baal. And there was one Elijah standing, one old man of God standing at the end proclaiming, thus saith the word of God. And in 1 Kings chapter number 19, you know what he done? He fled from Jezebel. There was one old woman that put him on the run, had him running out of the church, had him running away from what God had called him to do. You listen to me tonight. Don't you let nobody intimidate you, and you don't let nobody manipulate you. You stand on thus saith the word of God, and you preach that book the way God has given it to you tonight. But I want you to get this tonight, the character of that Jezebel. She had intimidation and manipulation written all over. You said, preacher, do you believe that? After they come off Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter number 21, you remember what happened there? Hey, was a man named Naboth there, and he had a vineyard, and with that vineyard he had, and he loved that vineyard, and Jezebel had an Ahab, and every Jezebel has an Ahab, and every Ahab has a Jezebel. And when they got there, you know what he wanted? He wanted Naboth's vineyard. He wanted something that was not his. And Naboth said, my vineyard is not for sale. Can I say to this church tonight, there ought to be things in here that is not for sale. Amen. Hey, we're going to stand on the word of God. Hey, we're going to preach the word of God. Hey, we're going to do what God has called us to do, and we're going to shout it from the mountaintop. And old Naboth said, it's not for sale. It's my father's. It's not for sale. I can't give it up. And you know what old Ahab did? He went in there and he got a pouting and he got a crying. And old Jezebel come up, and you know what she did? She said, son, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? Why are you so upset? He said, that Naboth, he wouldn't sell me his vineyard. And she said, don't you worry about that. If that's what you want, you'll get it. If that's what you want, you'll get it. I'll make sure that you get it. You know what she did? She had Naboth slew, and she had him killed before morning. But you know what? But though Elijah told her, he said, I want you to know the dogs are going to lick your blood up. All the days of her life, she had to wonder what God was going to do to her. But tonight, the reason for not standing, number one, the character of Jezebel. But let's look, number two, at the call of Jezebel. The Lord said, this ain't going to work letting her lead the show. He said, this ain't going to work letting her lead the show. And here's what he said here. Notwithstanding, he said, I'm telling you, notwithstanding, that means I'm not standing with you right now. That means I'm not standing with you with what's going on. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Let me give you this. Number one, she called herself, and God didn't call her. She called herself, and God didn't call her. I thank God. I want to stop right here. I thank God for the women that we have in this church. I thank God for the women we have in this church. I thank God for Sister Denise that stands up here weekly and leads the worship here at this place. I thank God for Sister Vicky that leads these kids and helps these kids. I thank God for Sister Kim that helps these kids and leads these kids and does things. There's women all over this church that is used in a mighty way. Used in a mighty, 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 mighty way. But tonight as we come to this place, look what's going on and what's taking place here. She calleth herself a prophetess. God's call on a person's life, I wrote this down, will never go against the word of God. He'll never call you to do something that goes against his word. You said, but I've heard him. You didn't hear him correctly. I felt him. Well, you didn't feel him correctly. If it goes against this book, it is not of God. Why? Because this is the living word. This is the word of God. It can't go against what his word tonight. He won't go against his word. He said she called herself a prophetess. God calls on a person's life will never go against the word of God. If your call goes against the word of God, it's your call, not his. 1 Timothy 2:12, the Bible says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to observe authority over the man, but to be in silence." When we come to this place, we stand behind this sacred desk, and we preach, thus saith the Word of God. There's places for women all in the ministry. I believe that 110%. But to stand behind this sacred desk and preach, thus saith the Word of God, and to lead a church, I believe that the Word of God teaches me 100%, not 99.9, hey, but 100%. And you may run me off for this, but that'll be okay. I believe this is a man's job. It's a man's call. He has placed that man behind that sacred desk to stand behind that sacred desk, behind that King James Bible, and to preach, thus saith the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, I know women all over that stands and they preach to men, and they stand at churches and they got their own churches and they're preaching and they're doing a good job." I want you to know this afternoon, I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm standing on what the Bible says, and there's going to come a day that you're going to be judged for that, and I'm going to be judged on how I stood on that and how I read the Word of God. He said there's a character of Jezebel, but also there's a call of Jezebel. The reason for not standing, but look at the result for not standing. 25 years ago, 25 years from now, brother Les, how old are you going to be? You probably won't have to worry about it. You're going to be like me. Hey, I'm fighting a battle Sunday. I probably ain't going to have to worry about 25 years. Brother Kevin, 75. Close. 75. All of our deacons, 75. You're going to be new deacons coming in. Brother Jake, some of these other men. Brother Lee, I may be speaking something on you don't want. But anyway, let me just move on. Some of these younger men's going to come in. You know what you're going to battle? Here's what you're going to battle. And it's already in the world. You're going to come a day that when you take an application for a pastor of this church, you're going to have to filter through women being the pastor behind this sacred desk. And you're going to have to get a backbone, and you're going to have to get a backbone. These men done got one, but you're going to have to get one. And you're going to say, "That's not with the Word of God. That is not how it's taught, and that's not what we're going to do." You say, "Preacher, we're not going to grow." Does it matter? That Word of God is more important than the growth in this church. I'm telling you this afternoon. He said, notwithstanding. He said, "I won't stand with you. I will not stand with you this way." He said, "I will not stand with you this way." He said, "I've got somewhat against it." And this afternoon, I want you to know there's got to be men in the world we stand in right now that's got a backbone to say, "This is what we believe at this local assembly, at this local body." You say, "Preacher, everybody don't believe that way." That's okay. I don't pastor everybody else. I'm not giving account for the man down the road. The churches down the road do what they want to do. Wherever they're at, they're going to give an account. Brother BJ's not. I'm giving an account here. When I let Sister Denise up here and lead worship, you say, "You don't let her." Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Listen, me and her work great together. We never had a problem, never had an issue. Why? Because we work good with one another. When Sister Vicky wants to lead some here, we don't ever have a problem. We work together. Sister Kim, we never have a problem. We work good with one another. And that's the way God has lined it up and the way God has signed it up. Amen. Let me show you this in the Word of God. And I believe in 25 years, it may not even be that long, well, you better have some men here done lined up with a backbone to them. Oh, man. Oh. The reason for not standing, but the result for not standing. Look what she did here. "Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." All right. Here's what I wrote. She taught against the Word. If she has the authority to stand here, it don't matter if she teaches that Bible. She's going to have to skip over something to teach it, or she ain't teaching it correctly. What's she going to do? What are we going to do with the book of Timothy? What are we going to do with these? Man, I hated to preach this worse than you hated to listen to it. That's what you get when you get in the book. Man, we got some faithful women here. But listen to me this afternoon. If she takes this book and she stands here and she's the pastor of this church, there's somewhere she's not going to be able to teach the truth of the Word of God. There's somewhere she's fixing a waiver on that thing or she's never going to teach it. And here's what he said. The result for not standing, number one, she taught against the Word. I wrote this down. Some truth isn't the whole truth. Take a clock and remove the battery, and that clock will still be right two times a day. You take a battery out of the clock on your hand right here, you take it out, two times a day, that clock's right. A.M. and P.M., it's right. But that doesn't mean it's right. Folks, the world we live in is getting more and more wrong. And you're not going to be a part of the majority at Union Chapel if you stay here the length of your days. You're going to be part of the minority. You're going to be part of the very few chosen over here. I'm not talking, we're not a cult, we're not none of that. We're not the chosen ones over here, the only church going to heaven. I'm telling you this afternoon, we're standing on the Word of God. And you're going to be some that's going to be stuck out there in the wilderness. But I promise you this, just as John the Baptist was in the wilderness and God took care of him, he'll take care of you. You stand on that book no matter what it takes. And it hurts. It hurts. Let me give you this. Not only does she teach against the word, but she seduced the servants. Seduced them. That's what Jezebel does. She seduces. She tells what she wants them to hear. Reels them in. Intimidates them. And when she gets them there, you know what she does? She manipulates them. 1 Kings 19, you know what she did to Elijah? Elijah wanted to die because of her. She done run him slap in a corner. She had the dominion over everything. And here she comes right back on the scene. And the Lord said, I'm not pleased with that. Look what he says. She took advantage. She led wrong. She persuaded to go on what felt right. What felt right. I wrote this down in your notes. Just because it feels right doesn't make it right. Did y'all know that? Just because it feels right doesn't make it right. There's some things I've done in my past that felt good, but it sure wasn't right. Somebody back talking and knock that jaw to the other side, it felt good, but it sure wasn't right. Talk to me, somebody. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's right. Church, and I want you to get this tonight, don't you feel bad for standing on what's right. Don't you ever feel bad for standing on what's right in that word. Galatians 1:8, here's what the Bible says. Paul told here at the book of Galatia, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. We see tonight the reason for not standing. They didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. They didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. If you're going to be in the ministry and you're going to be part of a ministry of a church, you better have let me think of a word, the backbone, the courage to hurt feelings. Because the world is going to try you. Christian folks are going to try you. You know what your calling is. You know what God's put on you. You know what you can and can't do. And one of your best friends will come up and say, man, can you let it slide this time because it's me? If you do it, you was holding the conviction, and the conviction wasn't holding you. I said, preacher, are you sure about that? I'm more than sure. I'm positive. If you've got a role in this church, woman or man, you know what God's put on your life, whatever position you're at right now. And there's be things that comes up that you know you can't do. Brother Garrett, how old are you? 18? You're pretty wise, I'd say. There's some things you can't do. You know that. It ain't because mom and daddy's told you that. Now, they taught you what you can't do on some things. But the Word of God's taught you there are just some things, I can't do that. I just can't go down that road. I can't partake with that. I can't do that. I just can't do that. You don't know how many times in the ministry men of God knows how I stand and what I stand on. And I'm proud of what I stand on in the Word of God. I am. I'm proud of it. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm proud of it. And I've had them come to me, and they know how I stand on a situation. Here's the first word they say, Brother J.D. I know how you feel about this, but. And when they get done giving their explanation why, I say, but what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? See, it ain't how I feel about it, because my feelings change. That word doesn't change. That word stays the same. As a church, if we go on our feelings, we're going to have all kinds of stuff going on here. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be chaotic around here. But we go on the Word of God and what it says to do. This afternoon, I want to show you just one more thing, and then we'll dismiss. I want to give you one more thing here. It said, notwithstanding. Here's what it said. The reason for not standing, the result for not standing, and the response for not standing. The response for not standing. Look what he says here in verse 21. And I gave her space to repent. There is nobody that God's not gave space to repent. Nobody. There's not nobody. Jezebel here is not a child of God. Jezebel here is a lost person. He said, I'm giving you a chance to repent. And quit seducing my servants and quit doing these things, leading them in the wrong direction. He said, I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. And written in red, Jesus said, and she repented not. Once, I wrote this down. Once you allow it, folks take it as being correct. They do. Once you allow it, they take it as being correct. When I became pastor of this church 11 years ago, there was fences that was put up around here. Fences. I come in, I sit down with Deacon Body, they sit down with me, we talk, man, what you believe, what I believe, and we had to be lined up. Not 100%, but 101%. Amen, Brother David? We had to be right with the Word of God. And there were some fences that was put up, and some of them we tore down that we didn't, they was put up for tradition. We tore them down. As a church, we moved on around them and went on. But there's some things that's not a tradition. That's just the Word of God. And we have to stand on it. Once you allow it, folks take it as being correct. And can I say this? Once it comes from this pulpit, if they're not careful as a pastor and a minister, your flock will take it as correct. They will. They'll take it as correct. He said in 1 Peter that he's an elder. He said, unto the elder, unto the shepherd, and unto the bishop. And that elder ought to be one that leads by example. He says, once you allow it, folks take it as being correct. I would not base what I believe on what others do allow to go on. What you believe in this place, don't you let that be because what others allow to go on. But base it on the Word of God. Bible says she wouldn't repent. A sad statement for a church is when it says you're welcome here without any judgment. The church here at Thyatira was growing. It was doing great. And look outside looking in, they was having a heyday. I pray that when God's out there looking in, let me back up. I pray he ain't out there. I don't want him out there. I want him in here. As we started this study, I've had a lot of people say, when is the, I want to look for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. Amen. I care less about that. He's got nothing to do with me. He's not going to mess with me. I'm looking for Christ to come and to be pleased with him. Jezebel's judgment was right around the corner. Right around the corner. For not standing on the Word of God. You and I can be sure that when we stop standing on the Word of God, trouble's coming. You stand on the Word flat-footed right here, trouble, a little bit of chaos. People get this, this church stuff. A little bit of chaos going on. But it ain't nothing compared to when you step off that Word of God and say, okay, I'll let it happen. I'll let this go. I'll let that go. And when you start letting this go, and you start letting that go, and you start letting that go, you turn around and look, and the Word of God's way over there. You done got sideways. Why do we read the book every time we come in? Why do we preach the book every time we come in? Because we're people that loves to go the opposite way. We don't go in the right direction. If it wasn't for this word, we wouldn't be going the right way. Peter said we're saved by this word. It's an incorruptible seed. So he says this, Jezebel's judgment was right around the corner for not standing on the Word of God. You and I can be sure that when we stop standing on the Word of God, trouble is coming. It might look good, sound good, and even feel good. But if it's going against the Bible, God's wrath will be poured out. This afternoon, as I come to you this afternoon, my prayer for this church is this, that whatever we do, it be based on the Word of God. It be based on the Word of God. This Bible is not up for discussion. It's not up for... It's just the word. It's written. You just have to read it and take it. You just got to read it and digest it and take it. So, preacher, there's some things in there. You just got to read it and take it. But I've learned this. He gives it to me when I need it. And he gives it to this church when you need it. Here's my prayer tonight. That we always be found standing on the Word of God. That's our sure foundation this afternoon. That's our sure foundation. And anything we do that's not with that word tonight, we need to get back to it. Get back to what God's calling us to do. Stick with that book. Stay with that book. Brother Tim Markham, he's gone now, but he told me this. And I told Brother Tommy Spurl this yesterday. We was running down the interstate yesterday evening. And I seen a truck go by. I said, "That's Tommy, Brother Tommy right there." Brandon said, "That ain't Brother Tommy. How do you know that truck?" Brother Kevin, we just know trucks, don't we? We just know trucks. I mean, I know him, Brother Kevin. You know what I'm saying? You just know trucks. It's a men thing. That's like Kaylee says, she knows shoes. She knows people by their shoes. I don't look at your shoes. I see your truck, though. He come flying on the interstate. We was getting off, and I see him. I said, "That's Brother Tommy." I said, "That ain't Brother Tommy." I said, "Okay." You know what I done? Whoa! We flew up beside him as Brother Tommy. He couldn't see us inside the truck, but we could see him. She said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "She said, I'm going to roll my window down." I said, "Roll that window down and wave at him." Rolled that window down and waved at him a little bit. He called. He started telling me of the preaching opportunities that he's going to get in the next months to come. Started telling me how God's using him. Started telling me how God's using him. And I told him this. I said, "Brother Tommy, you're a lot older than I am. You're a million miles ahead of me. But I'm going to give you one thing." So let's hear it. I said, "Brother Tim Markham told me this. He said, if you stand by that book, the God of that book will stand by you. You reject that book, you get away from that book, the God of that book will not stand by you. You stand flat-footed on that book, and you stay with it and stick with it, he'll be right there with you. He'll stand there with you. He'll go through it with you. But when you start wavering on that book, don't look for his back in nowhere." You know what? He's the author of that book. He'll author that book. Everything out of that book, he'll stand on it. It'll prevail. But when you start distorting that truth, don't look for him to stand with you. Don't look for it. This afternoon, I want to ask you a question. This right here is, are you standing on the Word of God? Are you standing on the Word of God? At this time, we're going to gather around the building. We're just going to have a word of prayer from here, Sister Denise. We're going to let the Lord just lead. Amen? This afternoon, if you're not standing on the Word of God, I pray you do get to standing on the Word of God. Let's gather around.